news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. As we kick off the last month of 2019, an important deadline is quickly approaching. Could you use some money for college? Well, if so, the National FFA Scholarship Application is now available online at ffa.org/scholarships. Access the application, view the timeline, and identify resources that best fit your needs. Just one application submits you for multiple opportunities. Now, the deadline to apply is January 15th. Once again, that application can be found online at ffa.org/scholarships. So now to get things started, we look west to Hawaii. That's where the state vice president and state secretary explain how the Aloha State's agricultural industry is intertwined with its culture and history. FFA Today correspondent Alex Wojcicki reports.
Alex Wojcicki reporting for FFA Today, and I'm standing with Harvey Tagalicut and Hannah Diokaris. They are both serving as state officers for Hawaii, so a little bit different perspective for us. Can you give us, Harvey, an idea of what agriculture is like in Hawaii?
Yes. Agriculture in Hawaii is very intertwined with Hawaii's culture and its history. However, in recent years, it has been suffering a bit, mostly because of policies, a little bit because of the narrative that has been spread. A little history about Hawaii. People from other countries would come to Hawaii and emigrate to become farmers. But the narrative that is shared from the farmers that did come to Hawaii and emigrated here is that they don't want their kids to follow in their footsteps. They want them to work in jobs that don't require them to do backbreaking work or things like that. However, we are trying to change that narrative as an FFA association, try to show the better and more fulfilling aspects of agriculture as a whole.
Hannah, can you shine a light on how you guys are trying to implement that message that Harvey was talking about?
Yeah, of course. So as a state association, we do a lot of social networking and a lot of PR media. So we just like really jump-started our website again, jump-started our Instagram. We try to do a lot of chapter visits. And the really sad part is, of course, like state officers, we mostly get to see a lot of great things like nationals and like SOS and WOC. And it's really sad because of lack of funding that a lot of our other students back home don't get to see what we get to see. They don't get to see how passionate, how diverse FFA is. And it's such a tragedy because if they saw what we saw, and they see like in our shoes and they see through our eyes, just through anything like LDEs and CDEs, I'm sure they'd be really amazed. But with, of course, it's kind of hard with a lot of lack of CTE funding in our schools, with a lot of lack of government help, a lack of, I guess, support from a lot of places because everyone wants to be an engineer or a doctor, but it's like, who's going to feed? Like, there's so much things that can go into, like, bioengineering or, like, technology or just a lot of networking stuff. There's so much things that can go into FFA, but we're just trying to really promote that it's so much more. And none of our majors aren't even, like, purely agriculture, but they're related to agriculture in a way. Like, I'm going to be a veterinarian, and Harvey here is going to be something in business, I think international business. So it's like, we're just trying to really just promote the message and take, like, of course, our best way is through cameras and social media. That's why we're so, like, grateful that it's, like, so popular in the mainland, you know? It's, like, coming, how do you say, you graduate with honors if you're from FFA. FFA is such a big deal, but then back home, it's really hard to even just, like, have people come to meetings, but hopefully we're trying to change that narrative.
Yeah, and I think an analogy that Hannah said that I really liked was that the FFA jacket is basically synonymous with the varsity jacket. Like the FFA are like the popular jocks of the mainland, basically.
Harvey, how did you get involved in FFA?
Oh, wow. Okay. So being in the FFA was never really about farming for me in the beginning. My friends, eventually, after years of trying to convince me to join the FFA, got me to join to compete. And once I did start competing and attending conferences, I started slowly falling in love with FFA and the people within it. I developed a very strong appreciation for agriculture, and my perspectives of agriculture as a whole has really blossomed. And I feel that using agriculture in my everyday life and using that in my combining that with my background in policy and technology will really help in really solving these world's problems like world hunger and very restrictive policies regarding agriculture. So I think that thanks to the FFA, I've been able to find really a purpose and find really a community that of people that care about me and I care about genuinely and truly and wholeheartedly. And I think that this was one of the best choices I've ever made in my life.
Hannah, can you tell me about how you got involved in FFA and what you're doing now?
So I got into FFA because I was, back in my high school, we have Natural Resources Pathways, and I had this really, really, really annoying ag teacher. You would not believe how persistent he was in trying to get me to join. But thank God that he did, because now I got to be like a chapter president, and now I'm a state secretary, and you get to see how passionate you are. It's like everyone really doesn't, it's like dipping your toes in the water, you know? You don't know if it's cold or not, you don't know if you like it, but once you really submerge yourself into it, you're going to be like, wow, this is so great.
Harvey, one final message. What would you share to FFA members?
Find your passions and follow your dreams. No matter how big your goals are, no matter how out of reach they may seem, you reach for them, you try, and you change your mindset to fit these goals, and you will achieve them. And even if you don't, you've shot for the stars, and that's more than most people do in their lifetimes.
And Hannah, one last question for you. What message do you want to leave with FFA members?
Keep wearing the blue jacket. That's all I can say, because it's explanatory enough. Just keep wearing the blue jacket.
We've been visiting with Harvey Tigalikud and Hannah Diokaris. They are both serving as state officers for the state of Hawaii. Reporting for FFA Today, I'm Alex Wojcicki.
And from Hawaii, we head to Tennessee. That's where the Trousdale County High School Trap Team, a part of the school's FFA program, is hitting the mark in the volunteer state.
I'm Dale Anthony. I go to Trousdale County High School, and I shoot on the Trousdale Trap Team.
I'm Nick Pappas, and I go to Trousdale County High School and shoot on the Trousdale Trap Team.
Trousdale County is small. We're one of the smallest counties in the state. We've got somewhere on average 400 students in the school, and like I said, they're part of my FFA program, and matter of fact, they're both officers in my FFA program. Nick's the vice president, Dale's the secretary.
This year, the team included not only us, but three other people, Josiah Crouch, Tanner Puckett,
and Evan Goak. And actually, this year at Nationals, he was able to shoot two perfect 200 straight, and that secured him the number one spot as a junior shooter in the nation. A lot of the time, the people that think of our shooting, they get caught up and it's just a team. When we're down here practicing, you know, we're not just a team, we're a family. We help each other. And we actually ended up dedicating our national tournament this year to one of my great friends. He shoots on the team. His name's Jake Hume. We found out right before we went up to shoot at Illinois that unfortunately his mother had been diagnosed with cancer. And we dedicated our national tournament to that, and we were there for him. We made sure he had a really good time while we were up there, and fortunately we were able to win our third back-to-back national championship.
These kids put in as much effort as any football player, basketball player, baseball player. And I think a lot of the public don't realize that. Not only do they learn a lot about teamwork, dedication, just good, builds a good character, and it pushes them to do better in school. We're very proud of them.
Well, what goes into it? Really, what doesn't go into it? We do a lot. You know, we spend a lot of time practicing and preparing for these tournaments and our actual wildlife, our hunting and everything, too. And we do food plots and all that, and then when we're not doing that, we're spending all of our time practicing these things right here.
It was really Dale getting me into it more than anything. Back in eighth grade, we both started talking about it when I moved here and realized he was on a shooting team, and that was something I wanted to become a part of. And it's just been, from there on, just what I really love to do. Getting to see the smile on everybody's faces and just the inner sense of that what we all work towards as our goal has finally come together. And it's just a great feeling.
And finally, we check in with the Waterloo FFA in Illinois, one of this year's premier chapter winners. They were recently honored for that win at a local city council meeting where elected officials, including State Senator Paul Schimpf, praised the program and the students' drive for success.
So happy not only with the support of the city council, but also the support of the community. We put a lot of effort as a chapter into this whole project, and then with the presentation, then going to Nationals in the top 10, and then winning Nationals number one for a premier, for growing leaders and for premier chapter. It's a really big accomplishment, and we are so happy to have the Waterloo community behind us in our efforts to complete this task, but also just with your support after we won. It's an amazing feeling whenever the community is surrounding our chapter and our just our community organization. It's really nice. Thank you.
This award was so much more than just an award for us. We're so thankful to have your support, but it was also other community members and our chapter members that were able to make it a leadership growing opportunity for everybody involved. So just thank you for all you do.
I will just say thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to participate and be here with you tonight. You all know that it's, you know, sometimes it's a slog being an elected official trying to work in government. But you know, one of the things that keeps me willing to do it and keeps me optimistic about the future of our state is folks like these. I mean, how can you not be optimistic about the future of Illinois and the future of America when we have this next great generation coming up? So well done, and thank you for giving me the chance to share tonight with you.
Senator Schiff said, you know, it's great to see the support of the city and everybody else in the community. Congratulations. Look forward to coming here and presenting your next honor when you get it. So keep up the good work.
The city of Waterloo is very grateful for you guys. You guys have done a great job. You're very active in the community, and you can see the leadership. You guys are a premier chapter. We're very honored to have you guys here today.
Thank you for recognizing our students. It's about what the kids do and the students. They are the driving force behind everything we do. So this is some of our core group that have planned all of our events, and you've probably seen them around at community events over the years. So thank you to the city. Thank you to our state officials as well. We appreciate the support.
Thank you.
Well, that brings us to our first break, but of course, stay tuned. We'll meet a former state officer spreading the word about FFA beyond the high school level, coming up on Rural Radio 147.
Welcome back to the show. And preparing for the future of agriculture through involvement in 4-H and FFA, young members are now prepared to take over the 58,000 annual job openings for college grads with expertise in agriculture. Well, joining us now is University of Tennessee Ag Education major Kinsey Bastion. Kinsey, thanks for taking the time to sit down with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us what first inspired you to pursue a degree in ag education.
Yeah, so what inspired me is I was a Tennessee FFA state officer my sophomore year of college. And coming into college, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I thought I would do archaeology. But being a state officer, I got an opportunity to travel across the state. And through that, I realized my passion was students. And so through that, I looked at my ag advisor and I knew that I wanted to pursue that path of helping students.
So what are you doing to prepare for this career field?
Yeah, so within agriculture education at the University of Tennessee, there's a plethora of opportunities and classes you have to take, from soil science, plant science, animal science. But one thing I do, I'm currently in a class where we have to prepare lesson plans and give it within the classroom. And so I'm really excited creating those lesson plans that I can use for my future students.
So what kind of opportunities have you already had where you can help maybe educate some of the young folks?
Yeah, educating young folks. I think my biggest one was during my state officer year, mm-hmm. that I got to travel across the state. So manage college life. So 2 days a week, I would go to classes, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, travel the state and give leadership workshops. But also, we have observation classes at the University of Tennessee where I actually get to go in a classroom.
Now, I also understand you've already had the chance to travel international.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that, and what did that experience mean to you?
Yeah. So there are actually two experiences. Mm-hmm. One was international leadership seminar for state officers. Uh-huh. We got an opportunity to go to South Africa. So we started in Pretoria and went to Cape Town. And we got to see just the agribusinesses, the farms, speak with them and look at the culture internationally. Mm-hmm. And then I also got to study abroad at the University of Tennessee, and we got to go to Guatemala. And there we established a tilapia farm for a clinic. And mm-hmm. so we got to help them and give them some advice and just like guide them of the resources we had on campus.
You certainly seem to have a passion for this. How are you trying to share that passion with the next generation and get them involved?
Yeah, I think just making it relatable, like mm-hmm. connect it in our daily lives. I try to pursue it every single day. That's one thing I try to just like pursue my passions, my value with everything I do. So that's just from leadership and campus involvement, but just educating others on just agriculture and but also sticking up when those misconceptions come up and just sharing my voice.
Well, I'm sure you remember your time in high school where you probably were kind of wishy-washy trying to figure out where you wanted to go. What are your thoughts? What are your ideas for young folks who may be in that position now?
I think high school is a great opportunity, especially through organizations such as 4-H and FFA, that you get to see so many career paths from public speaking events, job interviews. I met so many people from Farm Credit, Farm Bureaus, and just networking. You have that opportunity. And just try everything. I've tried nursery landscaping to floriculture to forestry. I thought about being a forestry major. And so just figure out what you love to do and really try, just pursue that passion. And yeah, just you have so many people around you that can help and guide you.
Never hurts to try out new things.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that you have one of the only combined 4-H FFA kind of organizations or groups going on.
Yes, ma'am. So my sophomore year at the University of Tennessee, we started this program. And so Justin Crow, our advisor, he decided to take on this. And I think it's been an amazing experience combining two organizations that both have the same pursuit of agriculture. And we have the opportunity to go out into the community and serve students, but also still share that same passion.
It sounds like a great opportunity to combine resources. So what are you bringing to the table for the members that are participating?
Yeah, so we have a lot of opportunities. We have alumni convention through the our Tennessee FFA. And through that, students, collegiate students are able to compete and gain networking abilities. So you have job opportunities. We've had people actually get job offers or internships through that convention. But even further than that, we have the opportunity to go out and serve the community for 4-H and FFA, our younger members. So we have that connection, that ability there to do that.
When you talk about serving the community, what exactly are you guys doing?
Yeah, so one of our, probably our main primary like value, I would say, is service. And one of the big projects that we have is our Operation Christmas Child. So last year, we packed over 1,300 boxes. And so we opened this up to campus-wide of individuals can come and help us serve. On a couple of days, we have a packing party in November. But throughout the year, we go and we take donations of things that we can put into the boxes. And we just organize that and try to just serve the best that we can.
Now, looking back at your time in collegiate FFA, collegiate 4-H, and participating in this group as a whole, what would you say has been a highlight for you?
The biggest highlight is seeing, putting aside kind of the stigma or the differences between organizations of both of them, and just realizing just that we have that common purpose and just combining together and really wanting to go out and serve. I think that's important to recognize just the people around you and those strengths that we all have and come together. And that's been amazing to talk about it to other people and to other universities. They're always shocked that we're together, but I'm really proud that we're one of the first ones to combine both organizations.
You are an ag ed major, meaning you want to be an advisor here down the line. So how do you think your involvement in the collegiate program is helping you towards that career goal?
Yeah, I think that with this program, I still have the opportunity to work with students. Sometimes when you go to college, you can have a disconnect to students because you are in your classes every day, but we have an opportunity to go to events. We have recently in East Tennessee, we have a varsity visit where regional officers and FFA put it on, but we got to come in, promote our club and our collegiate office and just share who we are and the opportunities and that they can continue on within college.
All right. Well, Kenzie, thanks for sitting down with us once again. Again, the best of luck also to you in the future. Yeah. The University of Tennessee Ag Education major Kenzie Bastian joining us here in studio. And don't go anywhere. There's lots more straight ahead here on FFA Today. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. And finally today, we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Bruckwald, who introduces us to Damian Clark, a Virginia member whose SAE project is growing his small business while also keeping people out of danger, which he says is his favorite part.
Joining me today is Damian Clark, coming to us from Appomattox High School in Appomattox, Virginia. He's going to be talking to us all about his supervised agricultural experience today. Damian, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, great. I'm looking forward to hearing about your FFA experience, and we're going to jump into that here real quick. I'd like to ask you just a few questions about you so our audience can get to know who they're listening to. Well, how old are you now, Damian?
Oh, I'm 19.
Okay. And when you're at home, are you in town, on a farm, or something kind of in between?
Yeah, I live on a farm, yes.
Okay. And what do you all do on your farm?
We raise cows, pigs, chickens.
And how long has your family been involved in doing this?
We've been involved in farming for about 5-6 years.
Okay. So this is something that's relatively new to your family.
Well, it's been going on from past generations, but we the ones that's really gotten more into it. The reason I say we got more into it is because we've expanded to raising more different things, because past generations, they stuck to hogs and like chickens and all that. So we're going into something new with raising cows.
Okay. Good for you guys. All right. Well, how long have you been part of the FFA, Damien?
I've been part of the FFA for about 5 years.
Okay. What brought you in? What made you want to join this organization?
Well, I've always liked farming, and I wanted to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. So when I got into high school, decided to take FFA class, and that got me more and more motivated to stay in it.
Well, what have you always liked about farming? What is it about it that kind of draws you towards it?
I've liked to see things grow and like see how everything works.
Well, you're raising all these different species of livestock on your farm. Do you have a favorite?
I would say cows.
Well, so you've spent all that time in the FFA. I always like to acknowledge who our FFA advisors have been. Who have those folks been for you, Damien?
Oh, my FFA advisors were Mr. McCann and Ms. Duncan.
Very good. Well, thank you for acknowledging them. And well, let's talk about your supervised agricultural experience. So I'd like to learn and know more about what you were doing through high school for your SAE.
I was doing wood production. Well, I would top trees, sell firewood, and that sort of thing with wood production.
Is this like a tree service business that you started or something like that?
Yes, Clark's Tree Service.
And this is still a company that you're operating today?
Yes, me and my dad, yes.
Very cool. Are you collecting firewood from the jobs you're doing all year, then selling it in the fall? Is that how that works?
Yes.
So what do most people hire you for? What kind of tree work do folks need out there in Appomattox, Virginia?
Tree toppings. Like you have a house and the tree's on top of your house. You want to get it back off your house. Uh-huh. And we cut down trees.
Well, so how long have you been involved in working the tree business with your father?
All my life.
Okay, so you've been learning for a long, long time about the right way to make cuts and all of that, I would assume. Now, how do you guys find your customers? How do folks know where to find you, or if they need your help, they can come to you?
Well, we make cards and we hand them out residentially. So mm-hmm. if anybody needs, they'll spread them out from there because, you know, recommending, sometimes use Facebook.
Okay. And so do you have a busy season and a slow season when it comes to the tree business?
Busy is when it's mainly summertime, mm-hmm. going into early fall. Then the slow time is when it's winter.
And so what do you do during the winter to make a living? Are you able to just focus on farming at that point, or do you do something else?
We do farming, and then we do the firewood.
Okay. What do you think about owning and operating your own business? Is watching your dad doing this and kind of growing up in this business, does it make you want to have and work for yourself?
Yeah, it's very fun to do.
Very
not
cool.
Not many people like doing that kind of work.
Yeah, but you like that, being outside and kind of working with your body?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. And so there's got to be parts of it you really enjoy, and I'm sure there's a parts of it that you don't enjoy as much. So what's your favorite part of the business? What do you like doing the most?
My favorite part of the business is get danger away from people, such as when, like I was telling before, how mm-hmm. trees are over the houses.
Yeah.
Is to get all that stuff off the house so it wouldn't cause no damage to mm-hmm. who's ever living there.
So you serving people and helping them out, that's your favorite part.
Yeah.
Cool. Good for you, Damien. Well, is this something, when you look forward, this is something you want to continue to do, maybe take over this business at some point?
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing this. I really enjoyed hearing about it and really enjoyed getting to know you.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, thanks to Matt, as always, for bringing us great content for the show. And if you have anything that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. You can shoot us an email at FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.